Hi, Dr. Thompson. Thank you so much for joining today on a Life Worth Living podcast. Sponsored by Lifesavers Emergency Room, and I'm Dr. Foye Ikiator. We have the esteemed Dr. Marcel Thompson visiting us today. I met Dr. Thompson on TV, as where he should be, educating the masses on public television. And so he was very impressive, very relaxed, and just spoke in just lay terms for the average human being to understand. Very grateful that you are, you know, joining us today. And I know this is going to be an awesome conversation there. So tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind Venus Restorative Health and Wellness. Your training in obstetrics and gynecology, correct?
Correct. And that is the impetus. I'm a board certified gynecologist. And, you know, I started getting into more of the hormones and really just improving women's functions or in women's, you know, sexual wellness, which is, I think, a topic we'll talk about a little bit later. But as I started to do that, I'm a 56-year-old man. And I was improving women's, you know, sexual health, and we're improving their lives, you know, with either with hormones or peptides or anything, and to only find that their partner wasn't as optimized as she was. And so I started looking more into men's health, and then I started learning more in men's health, and I'm like, I could do this. I'm a 56-year-old man. So as that started, you know, a lot of times when we are starting ventures and looking and seeing how we could explore and how we could think outside the box, you know, I started to understand this is a couples thing. This is a couples, you know, you have people who have been married for years and they get to a point in their lives, you know, that their hormones start to change. Their hormones start to change. And they sometimes mistake it as their feelings start to change and they do become more emotional. And there's really nothing that really addresses that issue of, you know, hey, I love my wife. I love my husband, but I feel this way and I don't know why I'm feeling this way. And so I started to down like, you know, with precisely, you know, the sexual desire. You have two people who think that there's, you know, something wrong with the other person and not really understand there's nothing wrong with neither one of you. You're just there. It's another phase of life that you have to address. And I think getting them to understand that and getting them to understand, hey, you know, we can help you with that. And we can really start to get you the vitality of life and start being, and we're living longer. And, you know, people have at this particular time and you're, you know, mid 40s, people start, you know, they start having a little bit of change. They start having a little bit of money and stuff. And so now what do they do? So I saw it was a market. It was an interest in that. And it's a pretty rewarding type of profession, that niche that I have created, because I can really help the person out and help couples out. We've definitely seen lives transform, and that's been, you know, pretty much a very good impetus to what I do.
So where does their medical help? How do you sort of navigate their medical concerns versus their wellness concerns or their sexual health concerns?
It's a good example so far as with the diabetes. And diabetes, particularly with men, understanding that men, about approximately 30-40% of men with diabetes have some form of erectile dysfunction and stuff, or they are at that age. And so, you know, when you put it to them that way, you put them in a way that, okay, you know, your erectile dysfunction and your lack of control of your diabetes are one and the same. And for years, you know, you go to the doctor, men have been going to the doctors, they go to the doctors and the doctors are like, well, you know, you need to get your A1C better control, you know, and your cardiac risk and everything like that. But they fail to ask them, how's their sexual risk? How is their sexuality? How are you having a full erection anymore or whatever? And a lot of times it's no. So the compliance, when you're able to have them understand, hey man, if you get your A1C better, if you improve your flow, your blood flow, you improve your circulation, you get this down, you deliver that baby as you call the gut, you'll improve, and so you'll be better in sexually. And so then the light goes off and they're like, ding. So now I'm not trying to beat them with the stick, trying to help them get themselves better. They see a motivation in doing it. And that's how, I'm really kind of, I think that's a prime example in which you use the motivation of the patient and stuff in, because we all know that patients usually they pay for what they want, not for what they need all the time and stuff. So you know that they're coming, the whole semaglutide craze and medical weight loss craze right now. I've definitely used that as an advantage to, help them, improve their overall appearance and their numbers. It's been really great.
Talk about the different services. So I definitely get that, women's wellness, men's wellness. In the scope of women's wellness, we're talking about sexual health. Are there other areas of women's wellness that you're treating, in your facility?
Yeah, so we do a lot of hormones, so hormone therapy. We do. We also are do we do some aesthetics, or do have people do the aesthetics with us. And with that, when you look at like women's health and women, as a prime example, why are you integrating? Because women want to look good and feel good, and so they may come for, the Botox, and they come for the slimming, the body contouring and everything. But they still want to feel, they still want to feel good. They still want, so many times I've had women like, ah, doc, I don't have any energy and stuff. But she looks great. She didn't have the Botox. She didn't have the body contouring, the shape, the BBL and everything, but she still feels, ugh. And I'm like, that's, a lot of that time is your hormones. I'm a firm believer that pretty much everybody needs to be on hormones at some point in time. I think our idea of hormones and hormone replacement has the pendulum has continued swift, change back and forth. I think if done properly and the patient is well consent on the risk and the limitations of the hormones, provided that they're not, there's no contraindications, there's nothing that inhibits them from doing it. Definitely a trial, but a trial and effort to, okay, how are we going to get you healthier? How are we going to get you active? My main thing is getting you active, getting you off the couch, getting you to where you're feeling. Peptide therapy we do is another particular things that women and men like, but so far as with women in improving their collagen in their skin with various types of peptides, that's been a real game changer.
So when you see patients that are coming in for hormone therapy, are these usually women who are like just premenopausal or already in menopause? Are you seeing young women coming to you with complaints of fatigue where you're having to tease through, could this be a hormonal issue for them as well, or is this generally the older
Yeah,
population?
no, actually, it's been a wide, we have a wide variety. Some women as young as 28 are, and then of course some women who are in the menopausal years. But in 28, so I was somebody of 28, and the type of hormones we do is probably, we do maybe some testosterone, check out their cortisol levels, maybe optimize their thyroid. And, depending on what the issue is, try to individualize our patient. But, a lot of women with polycystic ovarian syndrome, who we already know that's an insulin resistant problem. And they're, they have some weight and they're like, how can I'm trying to work out. I can't get this damn weight off of me. And rightfully so. And they're just having all the symptoms that are hormonal. And a lot of times we are sending the patients, and my old way of thinking was just to, I'll put you on some birth control pills, and see how that works for you. Meanwhile, that doesn't really address the patient's issue of presentation of, I'm, gaining weight, I'm not able to lose this fat. My libidos, well, we can address their menstrual concerns. So that's the one good thing of being the gynecologist. I'm looking at their menstrual, so I could control your menstrual problems that you have. But all of it is around, even women with PCOS or women who have heavy menstrual periods, more than likely the time it's about, about what's their fat loss. How are they improving? How are they getting the fat down? If they decrease their BMI, a lot of times they start to ovulate. And so a lot of things that, are related to, their health and wellness is looking at their diet, looking at the diet of how they are. And giving them, thyroid optimization or, testosterone, which we know which improves lean muscle mass. So just like men, and we don't give them a lot, we give them a little bit of testosterone. There's no contraindications. That starts to improve their motivation. It gets them off the couch. They start going to the gym. When you're at the gym, they start to see their lean muscle masses. They're starting to look at how they're looking in the mirror, and that's motivation enough. Once you have that, then you change the person's overall being of wellness, and you have them taking a more of a active role than a participatory role.
It sounds, fairly complicated. It definitely sounds like something that would require a physician's input to kind of tease through for patients.
Correct.
I'm looking on the website and I'm looking at vaginal rejuvenation. Oh, is this with injections or an exam? Is this something that's painful? Who is getting vaginal rejuvenation out here?
Yeah, vaginal rejuvenations are, it just depends on, once again, on the lifestyle. When you want to take from the pathology, those women who are maybe they've had breast cancer and stuff, and now they're suffering with vaginal dryness or stuff, or they have painful intercourse. So the vaginal rejuvenation, a lot of different things on the market, a lot of different machines that will increase the collagen aspect or an increase the lactobacilli or the bacteria in the vagina, makes the vagina a little bit more moist. And the same token, by increasing the collagen, the energy, the radio frequency energy or CO2 laser energy increases the collagen, has the vagina have an appearance of being tighter or retracted. And it's a very list of whether people are wanting this cosmetically, but a lot of times women have incontinence, the small amount of incontinence if they've had kids or whatever. And we've noticed that a lot of the vaginal rejuvenations help with the incontinence on certain patients. And that's why I think that getting an evaluation from a gynecologist that is familiar with this technology is, it's a must if you're gonna have that. And prior to you going to maybe a urogynecologist who's gonna do a surgical procedure on you, we used to use pessaries a lot, but we don't use pessaries. Pessaries are a little kind of plastic women would put insert to the vagina to assist the from them not leaking when they're coughing. We call stress urinary incontinence. But the radio frequencies and the vaginal tightenings given on for the right patient really can help correct that defect, at least for a while. And you have that, and then we have PRP therapy for people called the O shots, which improves, the sexual arousal and orgasms in women. But it also has a utility of correcting for the stress urinary incontinence.
And what's PRP?
plasma-rich platelets. PRP? Yeah,
Okay.
plasma-rich platelets.
So it's their blood, right? I think is the premise of that.
Right.
And they're
Correct.
injecting it back into them. But you know, sorry, what part of their blood are you injecting back into?
We're injecting the platelet growth factors of that. We have a special tubes and stuff that can extract the platelets and the growth hormones, everything that goes into when a person cuts themselves. So all of the nerve fibers that goes back into repairing that cut, the blood vessels that go back into repairing that cut, everything. But we use those same the concentrated blood flag factors, and we direct it to the different parts on the in the woman's vagina, and it's painless. And a lot of women are like, oh my goodness, you're gonna do that? Where to who? And but we inject it there, and it's you know it's has it's pretty amazing procedure for a lot of women, for a lot of women in helping them, you know, get great results if they're sexually if they haven't sexually been satisfied of getting it. But then we also do some coaching with the women, and you have to have a good history of what makes the woman have an orgasm and how is she done, does she do it, and so much of it's a lot of times it's desire. And so we have to address all of those particular forms of the sexual history to really to see how it is. And I like I said, and I think the advantage of you know going to someone who's skilled, because there's a lot of places, a lot of med spas and stuff that offer these different treatments. But and they'll you know do it, and people will pay, and they're not getting really the results that they want. When in reality, that wasn't the right avenue for them at that time, anyways. So it's really about it gets us back to you know having a clinician that understands the history and really listens to the patient of kind of where they're at.
And the PRP, I think it's amazing. I mean, certainly something that I've heard of. And, you know, I think you would really need it to, you could really be under the guidance of a physician that knows what they're doing to trust anybody to, you know, inject your own plasma back into you and whatnot. So when you say that, as far as patient results, so because it's, you're putting back the growth factors, you're putting back the collagen, I guess, factors. So those things that we're missing there now start to grow, like those
Correct.
endings are going to
That's
rejuvenate.
correct.
New nerve endings are going to show up in those areas, so they have better sensation, I assume,
Correct.
right?
Correct. And we, you know, we're exploring further, and as the stem cell and exosome therapy start to really start to emerge, and then we are understanding we're using instead of your growth factors, because with the growth factor, the limitation with the PRP is that it's a limitation of the person, meaning that if you're, you know, a person who smokes, who really doesn't take care of themselves, but they want the maximum thing, it's relying on that person's own ability in their body. So those things will change, as opposed to if we have if some people call them exosomes or stem cells, which we know this is a set block of cells that do similar function with regenerating the tissue in that particular area, but it's a little bit more maybe a little bit more consistent. Right now, it's a little bit more expensive, but I think as the like I said, the technology continues to evolve, I think that'll be something that we'll be exploring further.
Where would one get the stem cells? I mean, I know you have stem cells in your bone marrow. Are we, is that where we're heading to?
They have stem cells that you get what we call mesenchymal cells from the fat. You have cord blood cells that they've had from different donors. So cord blood cells, way the best kind of fetal cells, but those are different. So the biggest thing is exosomes, and exosomes right now are I say there's the exosomes are more like a precursor to your growth factors and stuff. And so going up the chain, you have your growth factors, and but what makes the growth factors are from exosomes. What makes the exosomes are from stem cells. So further you go up the, I guess, the chain of where the progeny of that cells comes from, it's looking at we can direct better results in directing the tissue in those areas that have more of the desired effect than what we're trying to get to. But it's a lot of we're doing also a lot of peptide therapy because, like I said, in that same vein around sexual health, you have, okay, great, we are able to the I call it the organ, in this case the vagina or the clitoris, that okay, we could address that issue. But if you're not, if you're just not there, I'm like, man, I think about sex one or two times or something. And a lot of women, that's what happens as they start to age, things, their hormones or whatever. So we're also utilizing peptides and stuff, and peptides that are there's certain peptides that are geared to improving dopamine receptor. And the improve in dopamine, and one peptide I mentioned is PT141, which we will use that sometimes, and the amount of response that that gets so far as now the desire goes way up. And so now she, both the couples, they're wanting to have, that desire like they were when they were, 25. So that has been a very interesting peptide, to say the least. But it's a game changer.
How do you navigate when a man, let's say they just want Viagra?
I tell the men that, the Viagra is it's just a it's a pressure valve type of thing. But I said, but the desire comes from, your testosterone. And we look at, okay, first look at what your testosterone levels are. Are we optimized? And they a lot of guys, they'll go to their doctors or primary care doctors, and they'll get, oh, well, the levels are, the doctor says my testosterone level is fine. It's, the levels is 300 to 8 to 900, and my level is 305, so I'm good. And I'm like, well, you wouldn't be looking at me if you were good. Who would be having the conversation?
Right.
So I'm like, let's get you optimal. Why don't we get you more on the 900 side? See how you feel with that. And like what we mentioned with women, sexuality all evolves around desire and all around, and how do we improve the desire? So we given that, well, if the Viagra is working, we have, other forms that will improve. A lot of times, the men will come to me and they want Viagra, or a lot of times the Viagra just doesn't work anymore. A lot of times, I used to, and that's the classic presentation, is that it was working, it doesn't work anymore, or I get headaches or I get sinus problems, and then can't really, suffer with the side effects to it. So a lot of times with that, we have different treatments that, like we said, start to really improve, like the Gaines Wave therapy, or some people call shockwave therapy, that we have that will direct energy to the penile tissue to improve blood flow. And so we have further blood flow that's there. And that's been pretty good, scientific, that it's been able to improve the blood flow. And once the blood flow is improving, then they have a better reaction with their P5 here, the Cialis. There's a lot of ranges that if we do P shot therapy, the whole things so that will improve their sexual function. And a lot of times with the men, I'll say about 70-80% times with the men, it's about getting the firmness, maintaining the firmness, and maintaining the erection. So we find out what's the problem. Do they have a problem with getting an erection and maintaining an erection? And once you, it, but it, it's an art, particularly with eliciting a history from men on that aspect and how to have that conversation and from doing that. And for me, it's kind of easier for being a man because, I try to relate the things that I am. I'm a 56-year-old man, and I so said, man, I don't know, when I was 50 some years old, I this was happening to me. And Men are starting to have a more open conversation about their testosterone and you know, really trying to come down off the machismo of a thing and just say, hey, we all are, everybody's, and Viagra wouldn't be one of the most selling drugs if only a few people took it. So
right.
Everybody, they're taking it. So, but really how to, you know, start to elicit that response. But for me, that's where the integration of medicine comes, because I'm doing this in a way in which I'm obtaining the history, and I'm looking at the history, I'm looking at the physical exam, I'm looking that he has a higher truncal kind of obesity. I'm looking that, you know, his lifestyle is more sedentary than it was before. So that it's a natural. So it's just a lot of providers don't really know how to approach that aspect with the men, because they are, you know, they start to guard them like, oh, yes. Ask the guys, you know, I'm all right. Talk about testosterone. Oh, I'm all right in that area. I'm like, dude, I ain't talking about that area. I'm sorry.
Do you feel like there's a stigma for men to be able to, or is it just that men have a natural desire to appear strong as protective?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yes, it's the man machismo type thing. They need to get out, you know, but like I said, you know, when you have these men and they are, and I'm not getting up like I used to. I'm not just physically, you know, I go to the gym and I have to be, and that's how I usually, bro. I'm like, dude, it's your testosterone. You know, all the things that you're describing is your testosterone, and let's, you know, kind of work from there. And I said, well, you know, what's going to happen is your libido. And a lot of people confuse libido with just the arousal. And I try to tell them is that, you know, libido is your, you know, the desire to hunt. And one example I use, you know, if you go to Twin Peaks, you know, you're at Twin Peaks and you have all these scantily women walking around you. And your main concern is, you're looking at the game all the time. You're like, oh man, God, that's second and three. Go to the whole time, never looked at the young women. Or for
you, if you are married, you shouldn't be looking at them anymore.
Well, if you're married, you can be married when you were 30, and you still, it's that aspect of just like, And that is the, you know, that's the aspect. But just because you get married doesn't mean that's taken away from you. Because even when you do, if that response, if you're not having a response, then you're not even having a response when you're married, when your wife comes around. You're still looking at the game and stuff. So we want to be able to have when your wife or your partner, you know, enters, that you feel the way you did when you were 25, when, you know, it didn't take much when you're 25, just took, you know, a look. And it was that. But a lot of times, a lot of couples, they get in a way in which they become comfortable with the uncomfortable. They become, you know, I ask the couples, or I ask the, just an example, how often are you having sex? Maybe once or twice a month. Like, once or twice a month? Doesn't that seem kind of odd to you? But they've gotten so comfortable with that becoming the norm. And they're like, well, this one woman, she's like, oh, I'm 48. And 48, we're not supposed to, you know, you're supposed to have just once or twice a month. I was like, no. And so with the couple along those lines is that, okay, if I'm seeing the male for testosterone improvement, now his desire is increasing. So now he is going to want to have, you know, he's going to want to have more. So you go from once a week or twice a month, he's wanting now, you know, two times, three times a week. And she's not, kind of have to preface the dude with that, because I'm like, you know, yo, because she's not really on that level yet and stuff. So That may sometimes have a problem. We do well when we have couples that come in, because then now I'm able to optimize both of them. So now they're having a better sexual relation together, and they're feeling better too. They're feeling that it gets them both more active. And I think that's the probably, I think when, you know, we start looking at midlife divorce rates and midlife things that happen with couples, a lot of that is how we kind of start the conversation, is just around that. They love each other. They've been together with each other. The kids are gone, everything. So now why is it that there's a change? I don't feel that anymore. And so if both the man and the woman, and they're both honest with each other, and they know then they both love each other, just like anything else, you know, let's look at other things in addition. It might be, I'm not saying that's in the be all, because a lot of times it does have counseling that's required, and seeing a sexual therapist may help. But if, you know, if the hormone itself is depressed, you could talk about it all you want to, but it's not, this ain't happening. So it's always a combination and a team of how do you integrate the things that you have. And it's just a different approach.
Do you feel like there are some misconceptions about sexual health providers or the practice that you would love to dispel if possible?
It depends on how she frames it. And like I said, for me, since I integrate a lot. So it's the integration. So I'm a gynecologist. So she may be seeing me for, you know, a well woman exam. So in the context of a well woman exam, it's, you know, it's perfectly fine, and it should be, you know, engaged, and it should be, you know, spoke about. So the how it's presenting is a certain way. Now, how she presents to her girlfriends, if it works well for them, then she's presenting pretty good with it. And the most of the time, the girlfriends are like, "Oh, well, my doctor don't do that." But it's a, you know, it's the, we are evolving as the internet, as information starts to continue to come out, and particularly when around, when it circles around women's health. You know, it's still relatively new, the conversations on it. You know, it's been within my lifetime, at least 20 years ago, women didn't even talk about orgasms, or didn't even talk about, you know, the aspects of sexuality at all. So they're starting to, you know, to come out. With men's health, the emergence of Viagra and the PDE5 inhibitors, it's starting, you know, men can start to talk about, but they're still a little bit shy about it. But, you know, really women, the education of women is still needed, even around menopause. You know, so many mothers that don't talk to their daughters about menopause or about even, you know, anything sexually. And, you know, once we understand that we're all beings and to be able to have, but it's a lot of times I chalk that up to healthcare and the inability of us to engage and educate our patients about it. But a lot of times, you know, in healthcare, we are so sometimes focused on the dysfunction and correcting the dysfunction that we don't step back and say, hey, you know, my patients, and I'll say, you know, 40, 50, 60% of the time, people come for the well woman exam or their annual exam. They're, you know, there's no really major problems with them if they're right, if they're taking care of themselves. But we start to understand the breakdown. I'm not going to the gym as I used to. I'm not sleeping as quite as I used to. I'm starting to do, and so that slowly evolving, and just so happens it correlates with, you know, their hormones and stuff, whether it's looking at their thyroid function or their change in their human growth hormone, or in women around their estrogen and testosterone and progesterone, and of course the same thing with men. So being able to get that there and elicit a good history, and how sexuality is every part of one's life, just as, you know, the circulatory system are just as part as a life of the, you know, the respiratory system. It's a system that, all right, we are humans that we want to be able to live and have that function well, because we're living longer. You know, we're living longer. In living longer, you know, I tell the people, you know, we used to, you know, 65 used to be considered old. You know, 65, you're tired. And people think you just go on and sit on the rocking chair and stuff like that. And you know, good 80, 80, 85, 90, you know, and we're pushing the longevity to, you can, we, I think by the end of the century, people will live to be on a regular basis at least 95. And, but who wants to be 95 and decrepit? You know, we want to be, you know, I want to be, at least with me, I want to be, you know, 94.94 in a day before I, you know, I want to be, you know, do this till the wheels fall off. And that's what most people do. Don't be 65 on a, staying on a porch in a rocking chair, where you want to be able to go out. And so that's where the vitality, and that's where I think the latest research and the hormones and everything that we have, that improves the vitality. So you live longer. So you want to be able to, you know, travel, you want to be able to go out and do things with your significant other, and you want to be able to have sex. Exactly. You know, that you want to be able to do that.
So. Well, this has been amazing. your practice, you started this, you said about 7 years ago, you were in gynecology, just in a traditional hospital outpatient setting prior to that?
Like I said, I stopped doing OB for a while first, and then it's been all clinic. My practice has been all clinic based. So okay. I don't do any, I can evaluate for surgical, but it's really just been just straight clinical based type of a practice. I love it. It's a 9 to 5 and I'm not on call.
Private practice
Earlier in my practice, my focus was on a lot of prenatal care, access to women with prenatal care, and doing, you know, did the whole OB and delivery and everything, and really focusing on the rates of prematurity, did a lot of work with the March of Dimes. But as I got a little bit older, I started seeing, and I won't get up in the middle of the night that much anymore. And I started seeing this niche and this need for the hormonal or integrative medicine, and how can I further my understanding of integrative medicine. So I just started partnered with some people that were familiar in the space, and very, you know, and as my base grew, you know, the things that I've started to understand how I can integrate various things into the treatment plans of women and men. It's pretty rewarding. It's very rewarding, because in a traditional base, even with the GYN, you're managing, you know, maybe birth control, or you're very limited in what you can do. And to see my patients, you know, they're coming back more vibrant. They see them coming back, you know, they're slimmed down, and they are overall look better. That is something. Or they have diabetes, and now they're not taking any more medication for diabetes, or they're not taking any more medication for hypertension. And once you get that point, that's the more rewarding part of, to me, that's where the fun happens, because you're really changing lives, and you're changing lives with helping the patient change their life. A lot of things that we do are cash based type of thing, and it's not insurance. And like I said at the top of the hour, is that people pay for what they want, not for what they need, a lot of times. And they feel that they need the dysfunction, but, you know, they pay for to look good. They pay to do all, they pay for, but health insurance doesn't cover all that. And they come right out. I was, you know, sitting in my practice one time, and I had a plastic surgeon that was across the hallway from me, and women were coming. And they would complain about, you know, the menstrual periods, and You need a hysterectomy or need a surgical procedure. Oh, well, I don't know if my code, my insurance will cover that and everything like that. And then go across the hall to the plastic surgeon, pay $10,000 or $15,000 for a breast lift or whatever. And
Right.
so that's that, Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder could see that. They like, I don't know, seem like you. It creates for a better patient because they're motivated, they're motivated in because they have put out the financial demands that of what they're wanting to try to achieve. And so if they're doing that and being in and being on the other side, that's the oh, I gotta force you to eat right. And so well, I gotta force you. Why? And it's like oh, we coming in, it's you come in and come in and all right, Mr. So and so, okay, cool. Your A1C is not better. You've been taking your medication. Well, yeah, no, you know they haven't been taking it. Okay, come back next month. And then the patient side, they're now their experience perspective of that doctor patient experience is like, yeah, I went in there and they didn't do nothing to me. It's just, and it's the cycle, it's that cycle of the patients coming back. And I've watched my mother and my grandmother, and they have this litany of pills that they're taking now. Well, my doctor, this doctor put me on this one. They referred me to this doctor over here, and they're just, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this has got to be a better way to practice medicine. So, this way of really being able to look at the patient comprehensively, find out what their motivations, what do they want to do, what is their driving factor. And in some way, the entry point for some men may be sexual, and for some men, some women may be vanity and stuff. So far, whatever their drive, their motivating factor of why they're seeing me is to be able to, my part of my job is to address that. And but while at the same time, let's see how we can improve on your longevity and the vitality that helps you live life better. That's been kind of a very good meeting because the patients, they're coming back and they pay, and we make no bones about it. I used to be like, oh my goodness, I don't want to charge the patient and stuff like that. But I'm like, it's you like say, pay for what you want, not for what you need. And if you want this, and the patient has to want it, the patient has to be sick and tired of being sick and tired of going to another physician, to another physician, being referred to another physician, to really, I'm like, dude, get up and start working out. It's not, change your diet, change, do this.
The things you're doing help them be able to do that. Now you have
Correct.
testosterone, and you have the hormonal support to be able to do what your other doc, the doctor's like, hey, you need to lose weight. But now you have someone like you who's going to help you get the energy, the motivation, maybe some medications that'll push them along the way. Because
Just
the elliptical isn't going to just burn the fat.
right. And I tell patients all the time, I'll say 80%, 80% of the work is on you. I can help you 20% of it. It's better than what you need, the other place, but 80% is like I can't make you get to go work out. I can't tell you to push the winch and crawl away. But fortunately, things like semaglutide, for instance, how I've been using, you use the semaglutide, it helps you along the way. So you're not going to eat that much, but so you're not having the craving. So it helps you battle that. However, you still have to understand that it is a behavioral change on how you look at food and stuff. That said, right now I'm using the medication to assist you with your diet. But along the same lane along the way is that you have to understand what carbohydrates are and how the carbohydrates, fit into, A, what they are, and B, understand that you don't need that. You can go, why is it that you can eat bites or two pieces of a cake and be full and you're not starving? And stuff. So we can give you the tools to understand along the way. And my only fear with the rise of the semaglutides and people putting them on the Ozempics and the Mounjaros, and people are just, hey, I want that weight loss.
Everywhere.
And, I want the weight loss. I want the weight loss with no clear idea of how you get the patients off and stuff, and not understanding that when you're in the maintenance phase, it's a time to, all right, really get the nutritionist involved and really have the patient understand what the food groups are and how you can, how you need protein and you need, fiber and how that can be just a regular part of your diet. I give an example. A lot of times, when I went to my mom's house and she, he made somebody made some sweet tea, right? And my stepfather has diabetes, but there's a version of a sweet tea. I picked the tea up. I'm
Sugar.
like, damn, this tea is so damn sweet because I don't drink that much sugar in my diet. So when I trace their tea is like, oh, I'm like, oh my goodness, no. But it's along those lines of my palate has changed. I don't eat that much sugar and
Salt.
stuff.
Those who
I
don't do
don't, right, I don't need that much salt. But people, I'm a pragmatist in the way in which we use that is that it allows people time to change their behavior. And that's all it does. And I think if practitioners are using it, and because the patients are going to demand, you'll lose the weight and stuff. You lose the weight very quickly. But if you come off of it, because it's just really, it's a governor. Once you start eating, you're going to eat. And I try everything that I do from the pee shots. I do my own from the, yeah, from that,
So for
from
everybody,
semaglutide.
who doesn't know what a pee shot is, it's the PRP, and it's to help with the penile, I guess, function, structure,
Growth, I mean, growth
growth,
and.
elasticity, the tissue. But it doesn't involve injections of the platelet-rich plasma into the penis. But it's all
Correct.
numbed up. But
Had to, because I and just like the
not.
semaglutide, and then I get on it, I get off of it, and so I could tell the patients, hey, this is what you're going to experience, and this is how, and then that directs my aspect of how I'm counseling the patients and stuff, and so and what to expect or what not to expect. So, I along these lines, it's been it's what's the practice of medicine, and it's the it's a learning experience that we go through. That's what giving guidelines. I ain't really crazy out there, but it's a good time. It's not physicians get burnt out. And they have they just get put in that same routine. So it's good to have the patients being able to really enjoy themselves and see them evolve to who they really want to be.
Well, Dr. Thompson, you are amazing. I wish we had more time to talk
All
because
right.
I have so many questions and
Cool, cool.
time. But gosh, this has been very informative. I can see like you're obviously a scientist and a medical professional. So being able to incorporate that, I mean, and you're so laid back about the wealth of knowledge you have. So it has been such a pleasure. I hope our paths cross again very soon.
Sure they do. And I thank you for, being on your show, giving your platform. It shows and it's discussions like this that people start to now is they're educated, just educated. So I applaud you for giving that creating the platform to educate the people.
Definitely. So, as far as how people can get in touch with Dr. Thompson, if you can let us know where your practice is located, I'll have it on the blog, on the podcast as well.
Okay. So our first address is 926 North Willcrest. So we're exit before is Memorial City Center.
Okay.
So we're in that area where the Beltway and I-10 meet. And so we're there. My website is venuscenters.com.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh, no problem.
Tired of waiting at the ER? Lifesavers 24-hour emergency room is your number one ER for pediatric and adult medical care. Staffed by board-certified physicians with absolutely no wait time. Lifesavers 24-hour emergency room is equipped to handle life-threatening conditions quickly. Your emergency or concern is our priority, and we are here when you need us. from allergic reactions to concussions, migraines, slips and falls, car accidents, heat stroke, broken bones and sprains, sinus and ear pain, asthma attacks, and more. We have state-of-the-art equipment and technology with an on-site CT scanner and X-ray machines, as well as a full-service lab for immediate results and 24-hour pharmacy services. Our dedicated Kids Corner keeps your little ones occupied while you are attended to. The pediatric room is specifically tailored to soothe your child and ease the stress of their medical condition. Worried about COVID-19? Lifesavers ER is Houston's go-to destination for rapid COVID-19 testing, treatment, and care. Our board-certified ER physicians and ER nurses will quickly get you the urgent care you need. Lifesavers 24-hour emergency room is your ER for immediate care. Now with three convenient Houston locations, open 24/7 to get you feeling better fast. Our Willowbrook area location is located at the intersection of Highway 249 and 1960. Our Heights area location is in the Garden Oaks Shopping Center at 3820 North Shepherd Drive. Our Summerwood area location is located off the Sam Houston Tollway at Westlake Houston Parkway.